Snuck in for that special music. Well, I hope all of you had a fantastic Feast of Tabernacles. I know that's been a few weeks now, but we had a great time. We were in Orange Beach this year and heard a lot of great messages, and it was very inspiring, and just really enjoyed ourselves quite well. I noticed the Giants aren't here today, probably because I'm here. You just didn't want to see me, so if that gets back to him, good. To Mr. Johns, Mr. Nathan, but we saw them, and there was quite a few others from our local congregation was there. You know, from time to time, as the feast comes around, I don't know how you do your planning for the year, but in our family, you know, planning, rather than a lot of plans from January to December, we kind of plan feast to feast. You know, I mean, that starts a new year for us in some ways. We start building up some second tithe again. You know, we don't have any when we get back from the feast. If you're like us, you spend what you've been blessed to have, but just a lot of different things. We go through the fall holidays and we are really just lifted up and inspired and about the kingdom of God and all the different things we learn and are reminded of. And then we get to the Feast of Tabernacles and the last great day, and then boom, it ends. It all seems to go by way too quickly for most of us. And then we arrive home, and we've had an interesting 3 or 4 weeks, a lot going on in the world, a lot to be concerned about in a lot of ways, but a lot to be happy about too, a lot to look forward to. So one of the things that I do, and I suspect that you guys probably do too, is just what should be our focus? Feast of Tabernacles is done. If all holy days are done, last great day, of course, is done, what should we be focusing on? And obviously, focusing on the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We know that verse in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 tells us that that should be our focus. And, of course, that should be our focus all year, right? Shouldn't be just our focus as we gear towards the fall holy days. The topic I'd like to speak on today is the title of my message today, if you care to jot one down, is Ambassadors for Christ. And I hope it kind of goes within that theme of what should be our focus. Who are we? What do we need to be doing in the months and days, weeks, and months now that the Feast of Tabernacles is over? The Oxford Dictionary defines an ambassador as an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. The word accredited indicates someone that is officially accepted as being of a particular standard. The Cambridge Dictionary defines an ambassador as a person who represents, speaks, or advertises for a particular organization, a group of people, an activity, or a brand. In the United States, ambassadors to foreign countries are appointed by the President of the United States, and they're confirmed by the Senate. An ambassador is the highest-ranking diplomat that represents a nation. They are an advertisement to their country. They represent their nation's culture, their beliefs, and their standing on the important issues of the day. They have the authority to speak on behalf of the President of the United States, and the words they speak can have a direct impact on the strength and well-being of the relationships that can exist between nations, between peoples. Ambassadors have power and influence, and selecting the right person for the post is not taken lightly. It is a decision that is carefully vetted. Does the candidate have the qualifications and experience needed to do the job? Does the candidate have the character attributes needed to represent the government at the highest level? Can they be counted on to advance the priorities and views of those who have sent them? Is the candidate respected based on their known character attributes? And does the candidate have the potential to succeed? I would think that all of these, or some of these at least, is on a checklist somewhere that would include at least some of these questions as a potential ambassador appointee is being considered. Again, selecting a person to represent you as the President of the United States, your interest, the interest of your nation, and ensuring that this someone is and will be a living example, an advertisement, as the definition said, of all that you stand for is a decision that must be taken with great care. You know, the word ambassador has a connection with the Church of God. We, in fact, have a hymn that we sing called Ambassadors for Christ, page 164. This hymn is inspired by what is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. And I'd like for us to start out there and review what is given in this section of Scripture. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 20 there, Paul is speaking about himself and the other leaders doing the work of the church as ambassadors for Christ. But let's begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. I think it's clear that this reference of being an ambassador is speaking to anyone that has responded to their calling from God and has been reconciled to him through Jesus Christ. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading with us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You know, it's interesting to me in that verse 21 there that it says that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That indicates to me a process that is developed over time, and I hope to get to that shortly. But what are the implications of this statement by the Apostle Paul? What does it mean for you and for me? What is an ambassador of Christ? What attributes do we need to have to fulfill this important responsibility? We read in the definition of an ambassador according to the Oxford and Cambridge dictionaries. We read that definition and what it means there. But how does that relate to us in God's church as ambassadors for Christ? As far as I know, none of us here in this room today are high-ranking diplomats representing the government in a foreign nation. But as members of the body of Christ, you and I do represent a foreign government, a kingdom that will be like no other. We heard about that kingdom, of course, in the many messages at the Feast of Tabernacles this year. I'm sure wherever you kept the Feast of Tabernacles, that was the theme, the coming soon kingdom of God. And also, we heard a lot of different messages about our role in that kingdom now and when that kingdom is here. God's kingdom is a government. God's government is his family. All members of the royal family have a high-ranking position in the family. It's God's family. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 says this, reminds us of this. Philippians 3 verse 20, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." You know, we still live in the greatest country in the world. We've got our problems, but we've been so very blessed among nations. And we, in this room, we know where these blessings come from, don't we? It is sad for us to see how society and many of its leaders and influencers have turned from the source of those blessings. There is a price to be paid for disobedience, and followers of God, those reconciled to God through Christ, must be separate from the ways that are contrary to God's ways. Our dedication must be to the citizenship that we have in heaven. We are called to be a living example of what living God's way looks like now. And that's true regardless of the activities and the things that are going on around us. If the country continues down the path of disobedience, it will become more and more difficult for us to fit in with those that embrace the new norms. Let's turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 19. John chapter 15 and verse 19 says, "If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you." You know, I remember a time in the world that we could simply disagree. And if you didn't infringe on the rights of someone else, you were okay. People pretty much just left you alone. But that's not the process anymore. That's not the thought process. You know, in today's world, you might be labeled as out of touch or old-fashioned, old school, or behind the times. But it was permissible to disagree before, and now it's not. You know, in recent years, it had become non-permissible for you and I and any of us really to be unaccepting of certain worldviews and practices that have been pushed on lifestyles and choices. If you do not agree these days with these lifestyles, for example, alternative lifestyles and those kind of things, then you were out of touch. Again, you were behind the times. And you might have been labeled as a hater or someone that is just, really just needs to shut up and go away. And that's the kind of the vibe and the direction that we got from people. But in today's world, even advancing further than that, today the push is for you to not only embrace whatever society says is good or helpful or right in terms of lifestyles and other choices, but there's almost a demand to promote those ideas, to promote that way of life. And for you just to be silent and not speak out against it is not enough anymore. People want to draw you out and get you, make you take a stand. You know, we're pushed in this world today to join the fight, to join the cause. And the cause for a whole set of rights that didn't exist back when I was young. But we have to be separate from that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, we find this. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14, it says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?" Verse 17 says, "Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." You know, I think when I read these verses here at first glance, it might seem to indicate that we are to hide out somewhere, to separate ourselves from the public, to stay hidden, just be quiet. But that's really not what is being encouraged here. It's not what we are being told to do. We are to be separate from the ways of the world that are contrary to God's ways. We must live in the world, but we cannot be a part of the disobedience that exists. But we are to separate ourselves from those things. Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is a verse that is familiar to us. It says, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22, which is almost quoted here from the New King James, it says, to abstain from every form of evil, which simply means do not participate. Do not participate. And again, that's becoming harder and harder. On the Life, Hope, and Truth website, Mr. Mike Bennett, under the Daily Bible Verse blog entitled Ambassadors for Christ, says this about 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. He said, quote, the Apostle Paul explained to the Corinthian congregation that God had given them a ministry of reconciling people to God. That was found in 2 Corinthians 5 and 18. This reconciliation, he continues, was made possible by Jesus Christ cleansing us from our sins. In verse 20, Paul compared his role to being an ambassador, an official representative of God, like the imperial ambassadors who represented the Roman Empire. He continues, Paul, by extension, all Christians, and of course that includes you and me, seek to bring peace and reconciliation between God and man. To serve as an ambassador for Christ, we must share his values and promote his mission. We must not be entangled in the ways of society around us, but walk as he walked, end quote. We cannot share his values and promote his mission if we are never seen and if we're never, ever heard from. We are not only required to represent the truth, we are required to shine a light on it. As ambassadors for Christ, we are to live it. We are to put it on display for others to see. It doesn't mean we're supposed to stand on the corner and shout from a, you know, at people as they walk by. But again, we are required to live it, and that in itself is different, and it shines a light on it. To fulfill this responsibility, we of course need to know what that light is, where it came from, and what we are to do with it. And I think these questions are answered in John chapter 1. Let's go back over to the book of John. It's very clear what this light is. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the darkness and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus Christ is the best example we can find anywhere of what an ambassador should look like. From the beginning, he has been fulfilling the will of the Father. Jesus Christ represents the government of God, the family of God, and he is a living advertisement of the kingdom of God and the way of life that we are to be following today. Christ represents the way of life we are to be actively proclaiming to the world and the way of life that will be the norm in the world under the government of God. Again, we heard a lot about that in the feast messages, I'm sure. Christ is the true light that gives life, and he is the light that his ambassadors, you and I, are to openly bear witness of. Continuing here in verse 6 of John chapter 1, it provides another example of an ambassador for Christ who fulfilled his responsibility to point others to Christ. John 1 verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which gave light to every man coming into the world. Jesus called on his followers to become lights to the world, to become ambassadors for Christ. You know, most organizations give a lot of thought to their mission and values, and use those as an anchor or platform for the things that they hope to accomplish. Where I work, we recently redid our mission statement and value statement, And we put a lot of thought into it because we wanted that statement out there for our employees to understand and know, but we wanted it to be a representative of who we are and what we're doing, and hopefully the decisions we make along the way are folded into that. Well, the Church of God, a worldwide association, draws its mission statement from Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 28. And I took this from the website, but the mission of the Church of God, a worldwide association, is drawn from Christ's promise to that his church would preach a specific gospel or good news message, continuing the theme of all inspired scripture. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached into all the world as a witness to all nations, and the end, and then the end will come. That's found in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14. Also included in our mission is Christ's charge to the early church leaders. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Making disciples, of course, involves educating, training, and caring for believers. That part of the mission and value statement from the church website and from the church is Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. You and I support the mission collectively as a group and individually through our tithes, offerings, and free will gifts, and through serving and caring for others in our church family. You know, perhaps the biggest impact you and I can have individually in doing the work of God is to fulfill the role of an ambassador for Christ over the time that we are given in this life. In Matthew chapter 5, you and I are given a special opportunity to be representatives of Jesus Christ. The term ambassador is not used in this set of scriptures, but the characteristics of the role are clearly present. This directive applies to anyone, past, present, future, who was, is, or becomes a true follower of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. He then opened his mouth and taught them." Notice that these are Christ's words out of his very mouth, his instructions to us. Skip down to verse 13. It says this, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how should it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." This really is what we've been talking about here. We are to be a light to the world. We are the salt of the earth. And that example has an impact on others. All true Christians should become a representative of the teachings of Christ, of his character, of his love for others, and of his coming kingdom. For an ambassador of Christ to be successful, certain spiritual character traits must be present in their life. Spiritual character is something, again, that must be developed over time. With the gift of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and God's mercy as we strive to overcome and grow in the grace and knowledge of his ways, God's character is being developed in us. You know, perhaps we should be considered ambassadors in training until we reach a certain level of spiritual growth. But the Bible is full of character traits that are necessary for a Christian to become fully impactful in their role as an ambassador of Christ. And that's what I would like to spend the remaining of my time in the message touching on several of the attributes that need to be developed, present, and on display in our role as an ambassador for Christ. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on each one, but I do want to cover several that stand out to me. We'll reference a lot of scriptures, but I hope that it will be worth our time today. So here are some attributes that Christians or that ambassadors for Christ will need to develop to be successful. One attribute is ambassadors for Christ are spiritually mature. These are just practical attributes, I think, that we're, of course, all aware of, but I thought it would be a good reminder for us as we enter another post-feast year and consider where we need to put our focus on. The Greek word for ambassador that is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20 that we read is defined by Strong's Concordance, item number 4243, and it means to be a senior and act as a representative. I don't think senior here is referring to an age. It just means someone that is not a freshman, someone that has been doing this for a while, someone that has been on this road actively striving, seeking and growing and developing. According to the Oxford Dictionary, the definition for mature means to be fully developed, fully grown, or having reached the most advanced stage in a process. Again, I don't think that's limited to age, but hopefully over time we are achieving that more closely. As an ambassador for Christ, we must be spiritually developed, spiritually grown, and again, reaching an advanced stage in our spiritual development. To represent Christ effectively, we need to be seniors in that sense, spiritually mature and diligently striving to become more and more like Him. No ambassador for Christ will be perfect in this life. I think we know that. But we should be advancing towards perfection over time. Again, this is a process that happens over time. 2 Peter chapter 1. You'll turn there, please. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Peter 1 verse 5 says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love." Faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love are all qualities of someone who is spiritually mature. Another attribute that should be present in an ambassador of Christ is that ambassadors for Christ teach others God's way. Ambassadors for Christ, rather, teach others God's way. We've discussed already the importance of our light to shine. I believe that our example of living God's way of life and putting Christ's words into practice has the most impact that we can provide individually in teaching others there is a right way that produces good results. We read earlier that our example will cause others to want the life God has to offer, though it may not be something that happens for them right away. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 says this, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." You know, for someone to ask us for the hope that we have to display that hope. There has to be something that they see, something that they're drawn to. And I always pause when I think about what it ends this verse here in 1 Peter 3, verse 15, with meekness and fear. I have to think about that a lot because I tend to, I don't know if you're this way, but sometimes, you know, if you're talking to somebody and they seem interested in some aspect of the truth, it could be, you know, why don't you eat pork? It could be something very simple. And, you know, when they finally get away from me 30 minutes later and I've explained to them the plan of God and, you know, all kinds of stuff they didn't ask. You know, I don't know that I've really been of much benefit, so I try to be a little more concise with my answers and just kind of follow their lead. Kind of meekness and fear. You don't want to overpower someone. But, you know, ambassadors for Christ should know the Scriptures and be able to provide understanding when an opportunity presents itself. You know, Mr. Winter used to say often, you probably remember this, that we need to know our Bible. We need to know our Bible. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. Another familiar set of scripture that gets read a lot to us. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." As an ambassador for Christ, we must be fully equipped to do the work that God has given us to do, certainly as a group and as we support the larger body, but individually as well. Part of the work is to share this way of life with others as we are able. So prayer and Bible study, that's always a great place to start when you end a post-feast year, is to really take that spiritual high that we've gained and continue on with prayer and Bible study, so that we understand what the Scriptures are telling us and how to apply that in our lives. Another attribute for ambassadors for Christ is that ambassadors for Christ walk as He walked. Ambassadors for Christ walk as He walked. We've talked a lot already about the example that we are to set for others and the opportunities that come from the example that we set. Again, I think that the example we set, more so than the words we say sometimes, have a powerful impact. I certainly think that's true as a dad, as a father. In our family, I think that's been true for me and my wife. And, you know, they see us getting up, going to church, and they see us keeping the holy days, the commandments. They see us not only going through the motions, but to the extent we can, being involved, being excited about it. And I think that has a huge impact. Maybe even more so than turning to a scripture and showing where it's commanded, at least when they're young. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Again, we're looking at an attribute here of an ambassador for Christ, and we are to walk as He walked. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3 says, "Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk just as He walked." Again, Christ the ultimate example that we are to follow, and when we follow His example, we become an example ourselves to others. Another attribute here, ambassadors for Christ are peacemakers. Ambassadors for Christ are peacemakers. Just quote this one real quick from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. It says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Ambassadors, again, that was Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Ambassadors for Christ promote peace and seek what is best for everyone, not just themselves. The qualities of a peacemaker are summed up in the verses that led up to verse 9. Quoting from the New King James, Matthew 5 and verse 3 says, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be converted or comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Again, these are qualities that we need to have developed in us to be a peacemaker as our role as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Another attribute that ambassadors for Christ have and should have and should continue to work on is ambassadors for Christ communicate well. Ambassadors for Christ communicate well. We need to be well read in the truth, again, studying our Bible, knowing our Bible, as Mr. Winter used to say. And we need to be able to articulate a proper response. Let's look at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. Colossians 4, verse 5. It says, "Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." To be an effective ambassador of Christ, just having the knowledge and providing an answer is just not enough. We need to consider our audience. We need to think about our tone. We need to answer wisely, knowing that we are representatives of Jesus Christ himself. We read in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 that we should be prepared to give a defense, and we are told to do so with meekness and fear, as we said. But sometimes I think how we answer a question, how we deliver that information, can be just as impactful and just as powerful as the information itself. Proverbs chapter 15. There's a couple of proverbs here that speak to this. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Also, a page over for me is Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24. It says, "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones." Again, how we present God's way of life. If we're, I've known people in the church, maybe you have too, that have been in the church a long time. I'm sure they're very faithful and close to God and all of those things, but they seemed angry. You know, you'd ask them a question and they just seemed angry. There's a lot of anger in their answer. I think that anger is probably excitement and it's meant well and all that kind of stuff. But when you walk away from someone that presents, even if what they're saying is true, what do most people take away from that? Well, if you don't know all the truth, or you don't know as much as we know at least, you may walk away and think, "I want no part of that. That whatever they're talking about makes you angry." So again, how we approach that and how we convey that, it should be pleasant. It should be exciting to us. It should be clear that the beliefs that we have and the truths that we hold dear create happiness, create something good for us. Another attribute for ambassadors for Christ is ambassadors for Christ bear much fruit. Ambassadors for Christ bear much fruit. John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 1. John 15 and verse 1. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." Verse 5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." And then verse 8 pulls this section of scripture together. It says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Perhaps for the topic today, we could substitute where it says "my disciples" with "my ambassadors." So you will be my ambassadors. Galatians chapter 5, we are told what that fruit is, what it looks like. this fruit that we are to bear in large quantities. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, again, very familiar to us, but it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." I think that's an interesting tag on the end of that verse 23. It says there's no law against it. You know, you can have all the love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You have all the patience in the world. You're never going to get in trouble for that with God. Another attribute for ambassadors of Christ is that ambassadors for Christ yield to God's will over their own. Ambassadors for Christ yield to God's will over their own. If you're still in John, book of John, let's turn over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and beginning in verse 37. It says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given to me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day." Verse 40. "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son of Man, or sees the Son and believes in him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." We represent God's way of life. We represent God's plan. We represent God's government, his family. To be an ambassador of Christ, we must follow his example. And again, we must yield to God's will over our own. Another attribute for an ambassador for Christ is ambassadors for Christ are servants of Christ. Ambassadors for Christ are servants for Christ. Again, following the example of Christ, we too are called to serve others. An ambassadorship really is a call to service. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. Mark chapter 10 verse 45, it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Also Galatians chapter 6. Bouncing around on scriptures today. Apologize for that, but the sermon is fairly short, so still should end early. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." I think all of our congregations do a fantastic job of serving others. I think we have a good reputation for serving others. We have members that teach our children. We have members that exhort one another, pray for one another, provide for one another. We have members that give of their time and their resources and a host of other acts of service all the time. So I think we do well in that area, but again, that is something we can always improve on. Ambassadors for Christ must have the heart of a servant. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, it says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." Some of you guys are some incredibly hospitable people, and that's fantastic. We need to keep that going. But again, we can always improve. And again, I think that as an ambassador for Christ, act of service to others is a powerful example. And it's something that speaks volumes, even if no words are said. And just a couple more here. Another attribute, not unlike the ambassadors that are appointed by the president and confirmed by the Senate, ambassadors for Christ are selected. Ambassadors for Christ are selected. They're not self-appointed. Again, ambassadors for the U.S. government do not appoint themselves. They must be selected, chosen, and appointed. It's also true for ambassadors for Christ. We are selected or called. We are chosen and we are appointed by God Himself. Another familiar verse, John chapter 6 and verse 44. John chapter 6 and verse 44 says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." And also, I'll just quote this one, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 14. Matthew 22 and verse 14. "For many are called, but few are chosen." So why it's so important that we as ambassadors for Christ develop these attributes. God calls us at a time when He believes that we're ready and when He's ready. And He expects us to develop all of these attributes and be a part of the work now and be preparing for a role in the future to help others have the same thing. Ambassadors for Christ rely on God to supply their needs. That's another attribute. Ambassadors for Christ rely on God to supply their needs. Like the fruit of the Holy Spirit, these attributes work together and they overlap each other to ensure that we are fully equipped for the work that we are called to do. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding." As an ambassador of Christ, yielding to His will and not our own will, we must put our trust in Him and have the faith to know that He will provide. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. I'll just quote it real quick. I've got it written out in my notes. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 says, "And God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Jesus Christ." You know, my dad died several years ago. He was a member of the church and died in the faith. And I remember as a young person, very young person, he had gotten to the stage of his life where he just really relied on God for everything, and that's good. That's a good thing. I didn't understand that at the time. And he would, if he got stuck with something, he was working on a lawnmower, whatever it might be, he'd get stuck with something, he would, and I was helping him, he would stop, just wouldn't make a big show out of it. He'd stop, he'd say a quick prayer, ask God to, he'd get frustrated for a little while, ask God to help him, and that used to make me irritated. I don't know if mad's the right word. I used to get it. I said, "No, let's just keep working. Let's fix this." Well, over the years, I've learned to realize that there's only so much we can do. And relying on God much earlier in the process is a winning strategy. So learn something from His example. Another attribute, ambassadors for Christ maintain a godly reputation. Again, these overlap an awful lot, but ambassadors for Christ maintain a godly reputation. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Philippians 1 verse 27 says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whenever I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." For an ambassador of Christ to have credibility and be effective, he or she must have a godly reputation. We must follow the rules consistently. We must ensure that we always tell the truth, regardless. That we adhere to the commandments of God. And we must ensure that our actions and behaviors are in line with the truth of God and His standard of living. That has to be our practice. That has to be something we're striving for all of the time. James chapter 3 and verse 13 says this. James chapter 3 and verse 13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness and wisdom." Our consistent good conduct is, again, the best advertisement of who we are and what we're all about. Ambassadors for Christ love their enemies. Ambassadors for Christ, another attribute here, love their enemies. This attribute is not as easy as it might sound. I think we all know that. Some people are not very lovable, it would seem. Perhaps we're not very lovable sometimes, and something we should be mindful of. But to fulfill our role as ambassadors for Christ, we must develop the same love for others as Jesus Christ did. Even love for those who may plot against us and consider us their enemy. Matthew chapter 5. I should say back to Matthew chapter 5. And beginning in verse 43. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43, it says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." You know, we all have the same potential. We were all created to have the potential to be part of the God family. There's just a whole bunch of folks that don't know that yet. They haven't been called. They haven't been God's way of life. I think we have to recognize that as we're dealing with people outside of our faith and know that someday they will be called, they will be given their opportunity, and hopefully they'll respond to it. And maybe our example, even when they are not very kind to us, might be one of the things that God uses to help them understand and help them to change from the way that they have lived to God's way. Just have one more here, one more attribute for an ambassador of Christ, and that is ambassadors for Christ press towards the goal and are determined to finish the race. Ambassadors for Christ press towards the goal and are determined to finish the race. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Says this, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Giving up for us is not an option. Our adversary will throw all he can to try to get us to stumble and to walk away. You know, over the history of the church, many brethren have given up. They've walked away over issues and problems that have come their way, some large, some small. But this can never be an option for us. As an ambassador for Christ, we must have the mindset to press on, to push towards the prize of our place in the very kingdom of God. I think that not giving up is just a huge thing that we need to keep in the forefront of our minds, because Satan, again, he's going to, as I watch the, you know, maybe you see this too, but as I watch the news and all the things that are going on in the world and the suffering that people have, it just hadn't hit that close to home for us. And I'm very thankful to that. I thank God for the blessings that he provides us, including his protection. But you know, at some point, things are going to get a little closer to home. Satan's going to find a way to, he's going to find out, he probably already knows what it is, what your weaknesses are, what my weaknesses are. And he's going to start to use that in a big way as time to get short. And we have to keep it in our mind, no matter what, we're not giving up. We're gonna buckle down and stay the course. I do have one final scripture for the message today, and that's 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We have been called. We have been chosen. We are appointed to serve as an ambassador for Christ." This appointment that we have been called to, it's a very high-ranking position. You and I are among the royal priesthood in a holy nation, with the rights and privileges of membership granted to all who make up the family of God. There are, as we've discussed, certain attributes that need to be developed in us for our membership or for our ambassadorship to be successful. Again, I don't know that we can claim that we are an ambassador in full when we first get baptized. We have a lot to learn, and we're still learning as we go. And perhaps we should be an ambassador in training. Maybe that ought to be the title for a little bit, until we reach a certain level of spiritual maturity. But I do think that we can have an immediate impact, and I know that we can continue to become more impactful over time. We have a responsibility to be a light to the world and shine brightly as living examples of our elder brother, Jesus Christ. And again, we are to live and shine that light and live his way of life in action, in all of our behaviors and everything we do, everything we say. We have the responsibility to do our part in promoting and advancing God's way of life and the kingdom of God. The world doesn't know it yet, but the inhabitants of this planet are eagerly waiting for God's plan of salvation to unfold and for the sons of God to be revealed. In the meantime, there's work to be done, and you and I have an important role in it. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ.